Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are going to share with you visions of hell. Now, many of you know that in 1998, God gave me a vision of hell, which I share about in my book, 23 Minutes in Hell. Now, there are many others who also have had a vision of hell, and we are going to share from four prominent people their experience. Now, these visions caused them to have a fervency to win the lost and to serve God all of their life. This is our purpose in sharing them with you, that you might also have a desire to be passionate for winning souls. But first of all, we want to establish that dreams and visions from God are biblical for today.
Acts 2:17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams."
So dreams and visions are for today.
Yes, and you know, Bill, there are 35 visions recorded in the Bible and 34 dreams. In the New Testament, Mary had a vision, Joseph had a dream, Pilate's wife had a dream, Peter had a vision, Paul had several visions, and John had a vision, and even a Gentile Cornelius had a vision from God.
That's right. Now, however, we should be aware that dreams and visions can be deceptive, as these next verses warn. Jeremiah 14:14 mentions a false vision. And Zechariah 10:2 mentions a false dream. Ezekiel 12:24, a vain vision. And Jeremiah 23:16, a vision of your own heart. So you can have a deceptive type of vision or dream.
And also, sometimes you just have a dream that's just from your soul.
You know,
from the busyness of the day, the things you were watching, people you conversed with.
Right, nothing to do with God.
Nothing to do with God. You know, and there are ways, as you always say, there are ways to determine if a dream or a vision is from God. And first, of course, it must line up with Scripture, and it must not contradict Scripture.
Right.
Now, we are not going to give a teaching on this here, as we have already done that on a previous podcast titled Visions and Dreams.
Right, right. We went into a lot of detail on that. Now, Dr. Erwin Lutzer said in his book, 1 Minute After You Die, page 25, he said, "If Stephen saw our Lord before he died, and if Paul died and was caught up in the paradise, it is just possible that other believers might also have such a vision." Now, if God can give someone a vision of heaven, then why not of hell? Now, I can tell you, the vision God gave me of hell changed my life. It caused me to have a desire and passion to warn others about the horrors of hell and how to stay out of it. It caused me to have a greater appreciation of what Jesus saved us from, and also to walk more in the fear of the Lord, which simply means we obey Him. Now, there are four individuals who have had a vision of hell that greatly impacted their lives.
And one of the most respected pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and authors was the late Dr. Lester Sumrall. He had a worldwide ministry that still exists today. At approximately 18 years of age, God gave him a vision. He said, quote, "I saw before me all the people of the entire world. I was impressed with how beautiful they were as they walked down a very long and wide highway leading away from me. In the vision, God lifted me up until I was looking down that uncountable multitude of humankind. He took me far down the highway until I saw the end of the road. It ended abruptly at a precipice towering above a bottomless inferno. When the tremendous, unending procession of people came to the end of the highway, I could see them falling off into eternity. As they neared the pit and saw the fate that awaited them, I could see their desperate but vain struggle to push back against the unrelenting pressure of those to the rear. The great surging river of humanity swept them ever forward. God opened my ears to hear the screams of the damned souls sinking into hell. God brought me nearer. As men and women of all nations plunged into that awful chasm, I could see their faces distorted with terror. Their hands flailed wildly, clawing at the air. As I beheld in stunned silence, God spoke to me out of the chaos. You are responsible for those who are lost. No, not me, Lord, I defended myself. I do not know these people. I have never been to Japan or China or India. I am not to blame. God's voice was tender yet firm as he spoke again. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. That was the shortest sermon I had ever heard, and the most frightening. It was preached to me by God himself. Not until later did I discover that that passage was in the Bible, Ezekiel 3:18. God left no doubt in my mind. I was impressed that every Christian is responsible for taking the message of God's grace and salvation to those who have never heard. I made a covenant with God that I would run as no man had ever run. I would fight as no man had ever fought to find the lost and bring them the good news. God had given me a compassion and an urgency for souls that would never fade as long as I preached. Quote,
that's an amazing vision God gave him. And he was an amazing, powerful, a man of God that accomplished so much. He established churches and radio stations and TV all over the world and did so much for the kingdom of God. You know, and it caused him to minister every day of his life until he died at, I think it was about 86 years old. Now, this is recorded in his book, Run with a Vision, page 32. Now, some say, well, Bill, that's just the Old Testament. But no, it's in the New also. Paul said in Acts 20:26, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. In Acts 18:6, Paul again said, but when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And then he said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. So God's called us all to preach the gospel, and he's entrusted us with his word in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. And so it is in the New Testament also that God holds us accountable. If he tells us to go and we don't go, then we're partially to blame for their blood. That's a scary verse.
Yes, it is.
You know, Kenneth E. Hagin also had a vision where he was shown hell. And now this was during a church meeting, and he said, quote, we went down to hell. I saw what appeared to be human beings wrapped in flames. Jesus told me, warn men and women about this place. Now this is in his book, I Believe in Visions, page 45. Now in addition to that, he also saw hell when he was dying as a teenager. He was baptized but was not a Christian. Well, he was suffering, and on his deathbed, he kept slipping out of his body, and he said, quote, I went down feet first, down, 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 darkness that is blacker than any night man has ever seen. The farther down I went, the darker it became, and the hotter it became. When I came to the bottom of the pit, I saw out in front of me, beyond the gates or the entrance into hell, I saw giant, great orange flames. I was pulled towards hell. I knew that once I entered through those gates, I could not come back. Some kind of creature met me at the bottom of that pit. That creature took me by the arm to escort me. A voice spoke. That place just shook at the few words. He, which was God, he spoke. The creature took his hand off my arm. There was a power like a suction to my back parts that pulled me back. Now, this is in his pamphlet called I Went to Hell. Now, afterwards, he got saved, and he preached every day of his life until he died at about 86. And, of course, he established Rhema Bible Institute. Amazing man of God.
Yes, I think, too, he slipped out of his body a couple of times during that time he was near death, right?
That's
right. And had this vision of
right,
hell.
Right, right.
You know, he established Rhema Bible Institute. He taught the Bible. He ministered healing to the sick, and he held many conferences and influenced thousands to know the Lord. As you said, until he died, I think it was around 86 years old.
Now, another man, John Bunyan. Now, he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, a well-known book. And he also wrote a book called Visions of Heaven and Hell. And on pages 123 and on, he describes a vision of hell. He says, quote, "We were soon surrounded with a darkness much blacker than night. It was attended with a stench more suffocating by far than that of burning brimstone. Likewise, my ears were filled with the horrid yellings of the damned spirits. I saw two wretched souls tormented by a fiend who, without ceasing, plunged them into liquid fire and burning brimstone. Now we were within hell's territories, placed in the caverns of the infernal deep. There were there, where earth's center adjusts all things, we saw one who had flaming sulfur forced down her throat by a tormenting spirit. We saw a wretched soul almost choked with brimstone lying on a bed of burning steel. He cried out as one suffering dreadful anguish. The man in anguish said, 'How often was I pressed to leave those paths of sin that would be sure to bring me to the chambers of eternal death. But I, like the deaf adder, lent no ear. Salvation was offered to me, but I refused it. But it was offered to me 1,000 times, yet wretched that I was, I still as often refused it. Oh, cursed sin, that with deluding pleasures bewitches mankind to eternal ruin.'" Now, his book, John Bunyan's book, will scare you out of hell if you're not a Christian. Now, he is considered a reputable man of God who preached the gospel and pastored a church for many years. And he was born in 1628 in England. And so that he has a very powerful story. This is just little highlights of his book.
Yeah, that's quite a graphic vision. And it's interesting, the part you quoted, I noticed that he said that he was often presented with the gospel, but he refused it.
Right, the man that was in hell that he saw.
Yeah, that man that he saw. So it was like that man knew, you know, again, just like the rich man in hell that Jesus talked about in Luke 16. He had remembrance of, you know, he knew he needed to repent. This man that John Bunyan saw knew that he had refused salvation many times.
Right, in Luke 16, the rich man knew that his brothers were going to come there. He was concerned. He didn't want them to. He was tormented in the flame. He was thirsty. He wanted a drop of water to cool his tongue. But he knew his brothers needed to repent. He knew repentance was a requirement for them to avoid that horrible place. But, of course, they were not going to be told from Lazarus.
Wow, very sobering.
Right.
You know, and this last vision is very powerful, too. It's a vision of the lost from William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army.
Right.
And I'm going to just kind of do some quotes from it and paraphrase a lot of it because it's very lengthy. But we're going to shorten it down. So he had a powerful vision while he was traveling on a train. And he said, "I saw a dark and stormy ocean. Over it, the black clouds hung heavily. Every now and then, vivid lightning flashed and loud thunder and waves towered and would break again. In that ocean, he saw poor human beings plunging and floating, shouting and shrieking, cursing and struggling and drowning. And I saw out of this dark, angry ocean a mighty rock that rose up with its summit towering high above the black clouds and stormy sea. All around the base of this great rock, I saw a vast platform. On this platform, he saw some of the poor struggling people climbing up on the platform, and he saw a few of those who were already safe on the platform helping these people, still in the angry waters, and they were getting them to a place of safety. He noticed only very few, though, of those who were on the platform were making it their business to get the people out of the sea. And he said, what puzzled me the most was the fact that though all of them had been rescued at one time or another from the ocean, nearly everyone seemed to have forgotten about it. Those safe on the platform did not even seem to have any care, that is, any agonizing care, about the poor perishing ones who were struggling and drowning right before their very eyes, many of whom were their own husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, and even their own children. He said what was most amazing was that those on the platform did not listen to the cry that came to them from this wonderful being they confessed their love for and that they professed to worship. They were so taken up with their trades and professions, their money saving and pleasures, their families and friends, their religions and arguments about it, and their amusements. The occupants of this platform were absorbed in their own pursuits. Then I saw that some of these people on the platform, whom this wonderful being had called to, wanting them to come and help him in his difficult task of saving those who were perishing. They were always praying and crying out to him instead to come and help them, make them feel more secure, remove their doubts, and make them happier. And then William Booth said, "Then I understood it all. The sea was the ocean of life, the sea of real, actual human existence. The thunder was the distant echoing of the wrath of God. The lost were in the stormy sea of life, sinking and screaming, all sinners before God. The great rock represented Calvary, the place where Jesus had died for them. And those on the platform were those who had been rescued. There were only a few out of the many, helping Jesus rescue the dying multitudes. The rest were too busy and distracted with their lives."
Boy, that is powerful and convicting.
It is.
You know, that's showing you that most Christians don't bother to witness. You know, Bill Bright said only 2% of Christians witness.
And we've all been guilty.
Right. And we all need to have that passion for the lost, have the heart that God has to save the lost. You know, in the vision God gave me, Jesus said to me, "Many of my people make excuses why they don't witness. They say, 'I didn't feel led.'" And he went on and said, "They fear man rather than fearing God." And so now we have to be led, but at times I think we make that excuse and say, "Well, I just didn't feel led," when we're really not having the fear of Almighty God. You know, Jude 23 states that, "And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Now, some people get saved by the goodness of God and others by the fear, the hearing about the horrors of hell. And, you know, so we are all called to preach the gospel. You know, Matthew 28:19-20 says, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing and teaching them to do all things he commanded. And then Luke 24:47, Jesus said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So again, we're all called to preach the gospel. It's not a suggestion, it's a command by God.
Yes, and Bill, as Christians, we have all fallen short in making ourselves available to God. I know that I have at times. You know, understanding the severity of hell and that it is the eternal destiny of most people will definitely help instill in us an urgency to make the most of every opportunity. The love of Christ should compel us to share God's truth with every person we know.
That's right. You know, and seeing hell should inspire us. We think, "Oh, I didn't know it was that severe. I don't want my family going there." You'll maybe pray more diligently. Maybe you'll fast for them. Pray that God sends laborers across their path. You'll have more of an urgency and a passion to warn those. And that's what understanding the severity of hell should inspire in us. You know, but this window is closing for people to come to Jesus before the great tribulation and before his return. You know, ask God to soften your heart and fill you with his spirit so you can be a more effective witness for him. Make a fresh commitment today to be one who wins souls.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.